practice been for going for a week so far? What have you seen that you've liked so far?
This is David Mayo, and you're listening to Bobcat Radio on 89.9 KTSW.
Thank you very much, David Mayo. Sorry about that. We tried to get Coach K in there for a little bit, but a little bit too long, but it was like a minute-long interview, so we weren't going to bring us in like that. I'm your host, Evan. I'm up here in the studio with Kirk and Ryan. We just finished up Texas State Sports. Give us a call right here, 2455. We're about to start talking some football, and it's about to get intense up here in the studio. But we start the second segment of the show with this day in sports history. Ryan, who you got?
Well, I'd like to take a trip back 40 years ago to 1974 when the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Denver Broncos became the first team to end in a tie. For those of you that don't know, football games can end in a tie, at least in the regular season. After the overtime period, they'll call it a tie, and you got the tie on your record, and you really want to hope you don't end up doing that again. I will never forget, though, when Donovan McNabb was on the Eagles, and they ended in a tie, and in the post-game press conference, his quote out of his mouth was, "I didn't even know you can do that."
I think, though, that they blew that up. Like, he should know the rules. I think he said that just out of, like, just not disappointment, just like, yeah, disappointment out of his team. He's like, just, I don't know. I didn't even know that could happen. But he's got to know you can end in a tie. I think I remember that. I remember when he played for the Eagles, right? He was still with the Eagles?
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that, too. That was pretty funny.
Who you name dropping, Kerr? Or who you day in history?
I got this day, Barry Bonds hit tied Hank Aaron 733rd home run for the home run king, Barry Bonds. You know, all the controversy around him is steroids and all of that. He tied Hank Aaron. Some people still call him the real home run king. I don't know. So far, I still
Barry Bonds or Hank Aaron?
I got to give it to Barry Bonds.
You got to give it to Babe Ruth.
Yeah, Babe Ruth. Oh, Hank Aaron, though. Hank Aaron was...
he was all natural.
He was natural. I don't believe he did that at all. And Babe Ruth struck out too much. He was all home run or nothing. So, I don't know. I give it to Hank. Well, I think Barry, you know, he hasn't been proven. You know, I don't want to assume anything until it's been proven a fact. So, Barry Bonds, 733rd home run this time.
If it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, looks like a duck, chances are it's a duck.
Yeah, you can't increase your head size at all naturally, so I don't know. That's the only clue that throws him away for me.
In this day in sports history, 1911, you might know this name, Cy Young.
I think I've heard of him before.
He wrapped up his brilliant career with a 1-0 victory over the Pittsburgh Pirates, and that gave him 511 for his career. The next closest person I want to say is Roger Clemens in the 300 win category. I mean, he's not even close.
I think that's one of the records in sports, and there's a couple out there that probably will never be touched.
I mean, they're just the records that he set are just astronomically higher than anyone else's. And with that, welcome to Bobcat Radio, the second half. We are going to start the national sports talk part of the segment, and we are going to start right here with college football. And what a big weekend for college football as teams left and right were getting upset. Did you watch much college football this weekend, boys?
Yeah, I did. I watched the Florida State Clemson game, winning in overtime. I had a feeling. I knew Jameis Winston wasn't going to play, but I knew Florida State is still a really talented team, and I had a feeling that they'd still win. It was a little closer than I expected. I didn't think they'd go to overtime, but Florida State pulled it off. You know, I don't think they handled the Jameis Winston thing right, but they still got a win without him. So that's a sigh of relief for Jimbo Fisher and the Seminoles.
Did you catch Jameis Winston on the sideline with his pads?
Yeah, I saw that. That was
something. For those of you that didn't see, Jameis Winston came out looking like he was ready to play, and Coach Jimbo Fisher gave him some not-so-friendly words about what he thought about that. But that game was absolutely wild, although if a couple field goals had went in, the game could have gone the complete opposite way. We got to see how the Florida State defense can improve from that.
I also like to get a shout-out to the Mississippi State Bulldogs.
Let's talk about that
both
game.
Both my parents went there, and they beat LSU 34-29, number 8.
Them.
They were they weren't even ranked, and now they're ranked 13. I mean, that was a huge win. They hadn't won in Tiger Stadium since 1991, so that's huge for the Bulldogs. And
to go into the swamp and beat Les Miles in his stadium.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, I'm getting out of Dodge in a hurry there. Yeah,
it's been like 20 years, so...
Mississippi State's 4-0. They put up 14 points in the first and third quarter to beat the Tigers 34-29. One of my boys was super upset that his Tigers lost. Of course, Johnny Manziel's alumni team did all right. I was watching the Florida-Alabama game thinking that would turn into something. It didn't. Oregon pulled it out against Washington State 38-31. We don't get that game down here on the South. I did watch the highlights, and Marcus Mariota is going to take this Heisman, boys.
5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's here. He's not playing. He wants that Heisman. He wanted it last year. He's getting it this year.
I think a sleeper could be the guy from Mississippi State, too. Is Dak Prescott is he's playing well for the Bulldogs, and he there's always that sleeper that you never really notice, like Johnny Manziel and Robert Griffin. You know,
he's a sleeper. Get this name, though. The wide receiver for Alabama.
Amari Cooper.
Fine. He had 2 touchdowns and over 200 yards in the first half.
He's the nation in receiving yards, so.
I still think the sleeper that not a lot of people are talking about, but they're playing really well this year. The quarterback for East Carolina University, he's really been killing it. His name is Shane Carden, and he's just been playing fantastic this year. They had some big wins. They almost beat South Carolina, and they're doing some big things out of nowhere, really.
My buddy Isaiah Jones plays football for him. He does pretty good over there, apparently, from what I hear. Looking at Marcus Mariota's numbers against Washington State, 21 of 25, 329 through the air, 5 touchdowns.
And no interceptions.
INTs. You look at Washington State, they threw the ball 63 times for 436 yards and 4 touchdowns. Connor Holiday, that's a gunslinger right there.
He leads the nation in passing yards.
That's your Mike Leach offense right there. You're going to throw it 70 times.
70 times a game, perfect. Yeah, we can throw it, no problem. Looking at the upcoming schedule for NCAA, as college football is starting to progress before we even can get a hold of our teams that we like so far, who's going to be in the Final Four for the playoffs, boys?
I'm not sure yet. I think the top three teams right now will make it. The fourth spot... I'm not really sure yet. I know, you know, Baylor's out there, Michigan State. I like Missouri, though. Missouri's good, too. They lost last week. They lost, but I like Matty Mock. I think he was playing well. They did lose, but I did like Missouri. Of course, Oklahoma's there now. And
they're in my playoffs, that's for sure.
Oklahoma?
Florida State, Oklahoma, Oregon, and A&M. No Alabama in there.
No Alabama. You heard it here first from Ryan Marcus. Looking at the upcoming schedule for NCAA, it is a cupcake matchup. The only big-time name schools I'm seeing is number 11 UCLA and number 15 Arizona State going at it. Other than that, you got Notre Dame, Syracuse, Baylor, Iowa. That's not going to be a good game. Michigan State, Wyoming.
Missouri, South Carolina could be something.
Missouri, South Carolina could be something. Two SEC schools going at it. I don't like Missouri because they left the Big 12. And then Ohio State and Cincinnati. Look out. Ohio State could get upset and lose 2 games in a row.
Wow, yeah. I like the Georgia-Tennessee game. I know Tennessee is a good team. They haven't been playing well over the years, but I think they're an upset alert for the Bulldogs again, as Tennessee, you know, they've got a solid team out there in Knoxville.
We are going to play a little game called Predictions. In this game, we are going to predict the World Series wild card, the division champions. Well, we can't really do too much division champions. And we're going to do World Series picks. So, Kirk, I know that baseball just flows through your veins and you're already salivating at this opportunity. So why don't we start with the American League? Give me your teams coming out of there, and then give me your wild card, and then give me your 2 teams that will face off to go to the World Series.
Well,
AL.
Baltimore's won it. They'll be the number 2, probably, and the Angels will be number 1. Angels, Baltimore, Detroit, and then wild cards, Royals and Oakland. I think Oakland will stay the ship and get it done. They've played too hard. They had a huge meltdown. They were up big time, another 10.5 back. But I think Oakland and Kansas City will ultimately make it. The playoff, I think Kansas City will pull that one off. Kansas City will be play Detroit, or yeah, they'll play Detroit, I guess, and then they'll play the winner will play the Angels will play they'll play the Angels, and Detroit will play Baltimore, and I think the Angels will win. I think it'll be Detroit and Los Angeles, and I think Detroit will take it. I think it'll be Detroit from the AL representing the American League in the World Series.
Over the Angels.
I think so. I think, you know, the Angels have been playing well. You know, they have Jared Weaver, who's always going to be their ace. He's played good. I think he's an underrated pitcher. He's pretty consistent. But I just don't know about the pitching. You know, they have that Showmaker guy that's pitched well. He's been injured. C.J. Wilson, from the Ranger days, has been inconsistent throughout his career. I just don't know how well that pitching is going to hold up. And the hitting, I think, will step up. Mike Trout, of course, he'll be the MVP contender. I just think the Angels aren't going to have enough to beat the three-headed monster out in Motown. And I think the Tigers will take it.
It's going to be hard. So your division leaders right now are Baltimore, Detroit, and the Angels. You go down to the wild card, Oakland, Kansas City. It looks like Oakland's going to be good to go. They're a half-game lead. Kansas City, though, they're holding on to that final wild card spot. It looks like only four games are remaining in this old season. And Seattle, 1.5 games back. That is not too far. They're playing. They lost against the Astros. That's not good. They're going to be playing Toronto tonight at 7 o'clock. So look for that. We're going to make the switch over to the NL. Everything's locked up. Washington's got it. St. Louis has got it. Dodgers have got it. Pittsburgh and San Fran have locked up the wild card spots. Just about. Milwaukee's 4.5 out, and they're the only one that could catch any of these teams. I don't know if that's even possible. Technically, mathematically speaking, they could do it. But all Pittsburgh and San Fran have to do is win one game. So coming out of the NL, I like San Fran and I like Pittsburgh. But they're going to play each other, so one of those teams is going to cancel it out. I think San Fran and St. Louis, if they don't have to play each other right away, are coming out and are going to battle it out to go to the World Series for the NL.
You can't sleep on the Cardinals, man.
I can't sleep on the Cardinals or San Fran. They've been there. They have two World Series rings with Posey. And look who's still on the mound is Lincecum. We keep talking about him doing bad, but he somehow finds a way to be there come September and October.
You know, he reinvented himself this season, basically, and he's been really pitching well. I watched a couple of games when I was interning for the Mets this summer, and he really surprised me.
Yeah, but the thing is, I don't know if Matt Cain, you know, was going to be back or not. And Matt Cain is their best pitcher. I'm not sure if he's going to be back or not. But I know I like both those teams, too. I agree. But as I said already, I think the Dodgers are going to be the NL team.
And that is picks for the upcoming postseason in the MLB. You might as well take those to the bank, because those are money. We are now going to make the sliding transition to football. And week 3 in the NFL could not have gone any better for Roger Goodell, as the play on the field has started to take away some of the off-the-field shenanigans that have been going on this year. You had the Falcons-Buccaneers Thursday night. That was not much of a game. Our boy Joplo did have a terrific game. You had Chargers-Bill 22-10. Let's start it off with the Cowgirls coming back 21 points.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I
how
I
about those Cowgirls?
Like, I think that was the biggest comeback in Cowboys history. Is, you know, Tony Romo will give you that those rays of hope, but ultimately will let you down. You know, you can't count on him, and
we're halfway there to 4 wins, baby.
You know, 2-1 is, if you would have told me the Cowboys been 2-1, I would have punched you in the face and said you're a liar if you said that, because they're still not a very great team, but the Rams are terrible. Their defense is okay, but shockingly, I think the Cowboys played good and Romo pulled out the
victory. Claiborne had that game-winning INT, baby.
Yeah.
But that's exactly the thing, is it has to come down to the defense, because you really don't want Tony Romo with the ball in that crunch time.
You don't want the defense on the field with that crunch time.
So what do you need, the special teams?
Yeah. You need a kicker out there. Yeah. Dan Bailey out there kicking extra points.
Gilbert. I want Jason Garrett out there. Good night. Let's talk about Redskins and RG3, as they had a tough loss to the Eagles in DeSean Jackson's former team, 37-34. Kirk Cousins, I like what he's offering to the table. Former Michigan State quarterback, if you don't remember, and played all 4 years for the Spartans. What do you think, Ryan?
I think he's their guy. Every time they've put him in there, he's played fantastic. He doesn't struggle with injury, although he doesn't play as much as RG3 does. And I think he's a better pro-style quarterback than RG3. RG3 is just a great athlete, but that also seems to be his detriment because he's getting injured all the time.
Yeah, I agree. I think Kirk Cousins will be the guy going forward. He's more of a pro-style player. I like Kirk Cousins a lot, too, and he seemed comfortable. He had that late pick, but you got to take some chances when you're coming down on the wire, and he just made a tough decision and didn't fit it in the pocket or didn't fit it in the window. So, like what Kirk Cousins is bringing to the table, I think going forward, though, they're going to be fine.
That comeback, though, by the Eagles, that was something. The Redskins took it, and I
was
really surprised.
Third time they've done this. Never in NFL history has a team come back three times by double digits to win.
The Eagles was the first time 3-0, first time since they went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, you know, look out for the Eagles.
Look out for the Eagles and Nick Foles. Did y'all see that hit on him? Where that was bad.
Yeah.
Good night. The guy got ejected.
Started a little bit of a brawl there in the stadium. But, yeah, he clocked him when he wasn't really looking. They made a rule against those peelback blocks, and that's exactly why.
Let's talk about the Houston Texans before we get to break. Last year, they started off 2-0, and everyone said the same thing. Oh, we're turning the ball over, but we're 2-0. We're going to be okay. Boom, they dropped 14 straight. What did I say last Monday? I said they're going to drop 14 in a row. They just dropped the first one. 13 weeks from now, they're going to be sitting here 2-14.
Yeah,
The
Texans did not play well defensively. They gave up. You know, that was kind of their thing, was containing the running back, and they gave up, I think, like 175 yards for Rashawn Jennings. So that was not good, and they looked horrible. Fitzpatrick showed his true colors.
Yeah, there he goes.
Didn't play well at all.
The old Harvard graduate is starting to deplete in the NFL behind the pocket back there.
Buffalo fans know really well what it's like to have Ryan Fitzpatrick as their quarterback.
Oh, but he does have a sweet beard.
Yeah, he does have a sweet beard.
I guarantee you Buffalo is so glad they got rid of Fitzpatrick. How about Eli Manning getting his first win of the season? I know they would have crucified him if he started off 0-3.
I still think his numbers were good for the game, but I still think he's not the same Eli Manning that we've seen before. And without the play by Jennings and the running back, Eli Manning wouldn't have had the game that he had.
He did have a pretty nice touchdown right in the window of, I think it was the tight end, forgot his name, but he had a nice throw that I thought was a perfect throw. You couldn't have fit it anywhere else where he was, and he played well. He played well enough to get a win, pretty much.
I like DeAndre Hopkins on Texans, though. Did y'all see his one-handed grab that was called back for the penalty? But it was just something. He had a couple really nice grabs.
He did.
That was nasty. When we come back from this break, we're going to do more NFL action. We'll do week 4 picks. And also, we got a special surprise for all you listeners. We'll be right back.